This is a Beyond Cast Cerberus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCastCerberus.com.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is me, James McLean, wishing I was James McLean from 6 years ago when I hadn't really done that many of these podcasts and would have probably felt a little more fresh and excited about doing an opening where I didn't feel like I'd been doing them for 6 years and thus feeling a little drab and boring by doing it. Does that sort of make sense to you, Brian Terranova?
Complete sense. It's one of the reasons why I don't tend to do the intros myself, you see. They're always fresh to me if I get to do them rarely.
Exactly. That's how I kind of feel. I can do them if I wrote them down again. I could probably do something interesting. But off the top of my head, there's that kind of feeling that how many intros are there? It's like a Tumblr lock. You know, how many combinations can you find to make this sound interesting? Do you try and do something fresh? Do you try and do something formal? Do you try and do something meta, which is sort of kind of what I'm doing now, I guess. Anyway, we're here.
We know which one you chose.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, at least it was clear enough which one I chose, even though it wasn't particularly very good. Which is why I'm kind of glad that there's no ratings for intros on any of these sort of podcasts. It's not yet evolved yet to have that sort of feedback scoring, because I think that would have been a fairly low one. We tend to talk about Doctor Who here. I think one of the problems at the moment is that to some degree, myself and Brian, and maybe you listener, as a listener, are kind of wondering why is there much point. It feels sort of it feels a bit like a wasteland again, doesn't it? If you're talking about Who in its current state, it's kind of hard to sort of find something to ground it. I think that's because we haven't really known where it's going for a long time. I'll tell you something interesting and something we should do. I think we'll do as a fan commentary podcast in the future. You can tell we're kind of winging this. Is we should do one of the first season Capaldi ones because I kind of feel a bit little lost with Doctor Who at the moment. I don't really know where it's going. I'm not even sure I even particularly like it at the moment much. And so it makes it kind of hard to talk about. But I was watching Time Heist and Murder on the Orient Express this weekend, which is kind of weird for me because there's so many things to watch these days. To actually sit and watch something I've already watched is kind of unusual. And I really enjoyed them. And it made me sort of realize how much I loathed the last season. Not because it was terribly, terribly bad, but just because it was terribly, terribly not good. And that is a real weird place to be in. So I think coming to do these podcasts can be kind of hard for us because we kind of feel, what have we got to bring which isn't negative? You know, where's the positive?
And yeah, I mean, honestly, there's only so many ways you can each podcast about the current state of the new series compliment Peter Capaldi on his portrayal of the Doctor and his work, because he's the good thing going for it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree. The two stories, you know, Time Heist and The Mummy on the Orient Express, those were both fun stories. I think I remember you and I both liking Time Heist. I don't remember what Christian's thoughts were, but for some reason I thought we were at odds somewhere with one of these stories, but maybe not these two. But yeah, I kind of had the same feeling watching Series 9 and, you know, the Danny Pink situation and Clara kind of just being completely off character from the, you know, any one of the character types they keep trying to make her be, just didn't make for a very coherent and fun series. Series 8 seemed a bit more free in that respect, I guess, looking back on it. And that's probably what helped that series a lot more. It wasn't really kind of tied down in a way like that. I don't know. I think going back in Series 9, I think going back to Danny all the time, even though Clara was still a companion who was getting dropped off at home, you know, starting with the 50th or whatever, just like has been happening since the Russell T. Davis era, or at least traveling back home, getting dropped off back home as a Moffat thing. But I think series nine, going back to Danny, somehow was a regression, taking us, having to have a need to keep coming back to Earth. When the only thing that you need to do to come back to Earth is just set a story on Earth. You know, I think that's the main thing for me, is that they keep trying to ground it in a way to make us relate when Earth itself makes us relate.
Yeah, I think so. And you meant series eight through all those, rather than series nine, obviously.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Series nine. Gosh, you're right. That's what's wrong with series eight. My goodness. Oh, yeah. See, this is how much I don't watch these series. Series nine was worse.
Oh, what I kind of thought we could talk a little about was Peter Capaldi's Doctor. Well, I don't know. Maybe we can't talk about it this much. I thought I found our theme. But I think this theme will probably be better played out by watching one of those episodes. But I'll set it up today. Is that I've kind of felt that even in series eight, which at the time I said was very, his character was here, there and everywhere, which I think it was. It felt very different in Robin Robots of Sherwood.
Yes.
And the last two, which I can't remember their names.
Sure.
And The Caretaker. Compared to Time Heist, Murder of the Orient Express, Deep Breath, Listen, and to some degree Into the Dalek. In those ones, there seemed to be I'd forgotten how abrasive he was, how understanding he was, how he didn't seem to get the human emotions, sort of thing. That thing was really played through. And if you watch Murder on the Orient Express, which I think we probably will, or Time Heist, he's a very, very cold character. Horrendously cold. You know, he's very scientific in Murder on the Orient Express. He's the master manipulator in Time Heist. And his love for people is very much a sort of how it played against his pragmatism, which is what it is. It's not he's a nasty character. He's just an incredibly pragmatic character. He looks at every issue without that sort of emotional sort of love of humanity, but on the sort of situation and dealing with it as the things that are there to present them with. So if he can save someone, he will. If he can't, he won't. But he won't bother about that at the moment because it's not relevant. It's not the priority. Is that sort of personality, which worked really well for me with Capaldi, because that's really what he's like. Yet occasionally you get these moments where he's quite a sad character at the end of Deep Breath. In Murder of the Orient Express is obviously his underlying thing that he doesn't really want to lose Clara. So that seemed to be very interesting, and we lost that in season nine, didn't we? Series nine.
Yeah, that's one of the big things for me is that you can have all those different facets of the character. You can have him be aggressive. You can have him be, worried that he's going to lose Clara, sympathetic to humans or indifferent to humans. You can have all of those aspects. They can all be bottled up in one character and they can all come out properly. But I think I've mentioned this before, but the issue with me for series eight for the Doctor was they seemed to write him per story.
Yes.
As they needed him to be.
Yes.
Rather than allow him to be a character and have him react accordingly as a properly written character or a real person would to the situations around them, which is what they did to Clara in series nine. So it doesn't seem like they're fixing the issue. But whereas in series eight, the Doctor kind of had better moments, as you pointed out, like in Time Heist and Mummy on the Orient Express. He was definitely more a character in those, more a doctor that we'd like to see him be. I feel series nine, he was a bit more consistent in character, if that's one thing we can say series nine was going for him.
Possibly, but that led him to being a very dull character and a very sort of bumbly character. And like at the end of series eight as well, where he sort of becomes quite an old man character, where he looks a bit doddery and confused, and Missy has just totally got the upper hand on him the whole time. He doesn't seem to know how to respond to her. And it's very, very weird, because I suppose the argument I'm kind of making is, would Capaldi and the show maybe be in the same situation now if they had taken a few risks and not dialed back the character within Series 8 occasionally, as you say, doing it per story, but made him consistent and then not watered him down, which invariably is what they said as well before they came to Series 9, that they were changing and making him more fun. and whether they'd actually gone with their gut and let him do what he'd got to do, would he have actually stamped a better trademark in the show? Maybe something the tabloids would have grasped, something where he is quite dark and quite abrasive and a bit more Malcolm Tucker, that would have given the show a bit of an edge. Was that the mistake, or was it part? I mean, I think there's a lot of factors obviously here, but I think my argument here is, was that something which really let the show down?
I do think that not having a consistency of character is what let the show down, because there were no real traits for the audience to fall in love with this guy for. You know, there were moments. There weren't traits. And even while I'm not the biggest 11th Doctor fan, you know, I think Matt Smith is a good actor. I think he did a good job. He at least had more of a consistent character. You know, he was constantly bumbling idiot, and he was also being able to knock himself down to being serious when the chips were down. But that was his character. It wasn't just like, I'm serious now or I'm silly now. It was when the needs must of a situation, the Doctor could become serious. And
it wasn't
writing. It was him slipping into the role he needed. The Doctor himself needed to be, not the actor.
So he could shift in tone, but the character remained. If the episode changed the tone, the character could reflect it, but would still remain constant to.
Right.
Yeah.
So he had a more consistent character, much like I feel Eccleston and Tennant did. It was things for the audience to fall in love with, things that they could expect per episode, or at least over time. You know, if you didn't get the serious side in one episode, you know that there's going to be a serious element coming up later. Whereas Capaldi he didn't get that. And clearly he's capable of that, but they didn't write that for him. And he had to work with what was on the page. And they, like you said, they probably didn't have the belief, the trust that it would work out having him be that negative, you know, the Debbie Downer type character, the rude guy who doesn't really care, you know, like it would work so well and still allow him to show a softer side from time to time. It's not like how they did it with Colin Baker, where it was just rudeness for rudeness sake. It worked somehow with Capaldi when they got it right. And I think it would have come across as interesting, and it would have also made his softer side much more special to the audience to see that have been a consistency type thing. So yeah, I think it definitely hurt the show, and I think it's continually hurting the show because they don't have a consistent character for him even yet. I said he was more consistent in series 9, but it's not a consistent character. It's just they found a level of safety for themselves, and hopefully series 10 does something to make us walk away from this era of the Moffat era, the Peter Capaldi reign of Doctor Who, thinking, wow, I'm so sad to see this be over. Because right now, like you, I'm not excited about the show. I'm not excited for these stories. So to see that he's leaving, it's a bummer because I want to see Capaldi stay. I want to see him get some great stories. And I would love to see, not just for Peter Capaldi's sake, but new series-wise, it would be an interesting thing we haven't gotten yet, a Doctor being written by two different showrunners continually. And I don't just mean for an anniversary special. I mean, I want to see somebody write an entire season for a Doctor that wasn't their Doctor, you know, the way the old show used to work.
I think the problem, is from the clip we've seen, the Bill clip, I didn't get the impression he's going to be any different to how he's been in the Christmas episode or season 9. I think.
Well, and of course that Bill clip, again, I know we've noted it before, but the thing that annoys me about that Bill clip is not only are we not getting anything new Capaldi-wise in that moment, but we're not getting anything new companion-wise either, considering it's just a rehash of a Donna scene, which really, really, when you're already not excited about a TV show and you're not excited about how things are going with it and you're looking for things to get you excited for this show and you're waiting to see these new clips for the new companion, because we've needed one for a long time. And when we get that clip with that new companion, and it's not new, it's old, it's a rehashed scene, it just doesn't help the excitement level. It just brings things back down. You know, and she's going to have an entire series of stuff, so there's going to be things specific to her character and new. There has to be. I mean, just law of averages, there has to be. But to kick off with that one, was a shame. It was a shame for her. It was a shame for the audience. And it was a shame for the writers that that got out the way that it did. I don't think anybody really missed that fact, you know. But you're right. I think what they're trying to do with Series 10, rather than alter the Doctor to give him more consistent character to make him be what he should be, they're throwing in that Nordell character and the new Bill to try and make them be the things for the audience to relate to and be thrilled to see. And that's just wrong to me. Like, it needs to be the Doctor and Companion, I think, are kind of equal parts important to the audience. Yeah. And if you're not getting the Doctor right, that's you've got a failure right there.
It's a question, isn't it? And as I say, I don't see it changing. But I think it'll be interesting when we do these when we do these podcast commentaries. I think it'll be interesting to see how we feel about it. Because, say, from watching those two, he seemed horrendously consistent. To be fair, I kind of felt if you had a season which was just deep breath, maybe Into the Dalek, probably, yeah, even though I don't particularly like the story, he is pretty consistent in that. Into the Dalek, Time Heist, and Murder on the Orient Express 1, or whatever it was called, that would be actually quite a strong season for the Doctor himself. Those are, he is pretty much the same in all those, possibly also in the one with the tires get smaller, its name escapes from me, maybe that as well. But they are actually fairly consistent, but nothing like that in season 9. None of them are like that at all. Maybe to some argument, Heaven Sent a little bit could be argued that way because you've got that very internal stuff. So I think we should do one of those, and maybe that will give us a little positivity for the podcast in actually celebrating some of his stuff.
I was just going to say, I am hoping let's do this. Since we're talking about that and how we're unfortunately still feeling a bit negative about things right now, let's talk about our hopes for Series 10. And, my hope for Series 10 is that I will watch the first episode or even the second episode and come on here and do a podcast where I come on and say, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. That was fun. And my other hope is that, and I hope I'm saying the character name right, but Nordell, I know I'm not keen on Matt Lucas, the character that Matt Lucas plays, not Matt Lucas himself. I have no gripe with Matt Lucas, but the character that he plays, because in Husbands of River Song, he was clearly played as a joke. And he needed to be as big of a joke for that story to make that character work. When you bring him on as a companion, I was less enamored than most with him in the most recent Dr. Mysterio Christmas story. But my hope is that they're going to pull a Donna on us. They're going to make us really enjoy his character and feel for his character in Series 10. And I really hope that's the case and not exactly what I'm currently expecting it to be like. So my hope is that we're going to get on this podcast. We're going to talk about how much we enjoyed a story and how much both the new companions and the Doctor are fun. And I don't know, I'm sitting here trying to think, like, it seems like rather than trying to stretch out and try something new, it kind of defaulted to the tried and trusted and did it a little much too much to the point where we're not getting anything special from the show anymore, if you follow, if that makes sense. Because it seems like the few times that they branched out and tried something different, we were all very much for it and excited by it and thought this was great. And then it just defaulted back to the norm, and maybe more so the norm of the new series, the staple of character drama, the staple of coming back to Earth every 5 seconds for a personal situation rather than just a different jaunt to Earth like we used to have. Maybe it's certain character traits of the characters. I don't know. It just seems like when I watch an episode, for the past few years, even prior to Capaldi, it felt like when I watched an episode, I had seen a better version of this episode already done before.
Yeah.
Maybe the situation or the alien was slightly different. Maybe I should say that. Maybe the alien was different or whatever, but the situation was the same. And maybe that whole kind of repeated aspect needs to stop. Repeated memes, repeated ideas, and it's difficult. There's so much history with fiction and science fiction. It's difficult to try something new, but it shouldn't be that hard to try something new out of the past 10 years of something that you've already been doing. You know, like, forget the entire 50-year history. Try something different than the past 10 years at least.
Well, the upside is to some degree, well, this tails back nicely to what we were saying before with Capaldi, is that I kind of felt in Series 8 there was a slight feeling that they were trying something new with the character, that they were defying the last 10 years, as you say, of Doctor Who. Well, it wasn't quite 10 years of time, but, you know, he was not like Smith, Eccleston or Tennant. Yeah, there was a little bit of Hartnell about him, maybe a little bit of Manipulator Sylvester, maybe a little bit of Baker in him, Tom Baker or Colin Baker, but he was his own. He was definitely defying that new series trend. And then they seemed to get scared over that and seemed to go back to writing him as the sort of crazy, who knows what he's going to say next Doctor, which just doesn't suit him. And I think that's the sadness.
That is really sad. Because when you think about it, the closest we came to a Doctor who was brash, or maybe not exactly caring about how what he was saying sounded, was the Ninth Doctor in the new series. You know, he could have times where he was very blunt, but we didn't get it to the degree of Capaldi. Otherwise, everybody was kind of personable, a little bit quirky, and really caring. And so that was something very different and an aspect that they just... The problem is that what if when Matt Smith came on the scene, they made his Doctor be that brash and uncaring as they tried to do with Capaldi? Do you think it would have worked better because he was the young, attractive guy and audiences would have just liked him because he was young and attractive and that was it, would have been his... Like Sherlock, for example.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, to be fair, Capaldi is just... the character they write is pretty much their playoff on Sherlock.
Sure,
it's the Moffat Sherlock as a Doctor, really.
And I don't think that he's not working being the bold, brash character that he is because it doesn't work. I think it's not working because the TV execs are looking at it going, oh, that doesn't work, you can't do that. Whereas the audience is sitting there going, yes, please give us more of that. I think it's not working for the wrong reasons, the wrong people.
I think it would have I think their mistake, and I, to be honest, you know, without us sounding like know-it-all dicks, this is exactly the issue that we had, that we were talking about before Series 8 came out, is that if they'd kept him like Malcolm Tucker, obviously not quite as extreme, but which they started to do, they brought on a male companion as a TARDIS crew member, and just had him as a male companion. I think the will there, won't they, of the Clara thing, it's very conventional storytelling for dramas. I just don't think they needed to go there. I think it'd have been far better if she wanted to go and use her to go and meet guys on individual episodes and use him to meet girls on individual episodes. Absolutely fine. But I think what would have made them strong would have been a feeling that they were three equal people, that there was no stronger bond between any one of them. And if they'd done that and allowed Danny to be a little more of a hero, a little more of an Ian Chesterton, and that would have allowed Capaldi to be the quite dark, abrasive character he was trying to be, they wouldn't have had this fear that Capaldi was going to be too dark for kids, because they'd have had a very nice male character who was there for kids, who would be able to also help, along with Clara, to be that bridge to show kids that, you know, while he's quite a gruff character, he's quite a nice character. And they lost that. And the joke is really, to in a lot of ways, is they fell into the Colin Baker trap. They made him the dark, abrasive character. They did not make Clara the nanny that was going to be, that they suggested in Deep Breath. She would be there to help him and care for him and sort of keep an eye on him and be that bridge for the audience. She went off with Danny, effectively, leaving him on his own. So you just left him again as this abrasive character, which was fun for me. Maybe kids didn't like it, so they felt they had to dilute him. You think they didn't have to dilute him. It's just that you set the dynamics up wrong for that series. And the dynamics, from an audience point of view, seemed fairly obvious and straightforward.
You know, and you really put that the best way I think I've heard it, which was saying that Danny Pink could have been the Ian Chesterton of the new series, basically. And that is a point we've made before, that in Series 8, it would have been so much better if Danny just joined the TARDIS crew and they got away from Earth for a little bit and had adventures in space together, and certainly without the love interest angle, just because it doesn't seem to work in the new series. It seems like you keep bringing people together just to break them up, and that's always, to me, the most boring storytelling ever. And I don't just mean Doctor Who. I mean, when you work in TV shows to watch two characters get together just for them to go, now we don't know what to do, let's break them up so we can bring them back together again. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
No.
But if you had let Capaldi be, they, not you, obviously, had yeah. let Capaldi be as crotchety as he wanted to be, while still showing a lighter side, because we already know how this failure kind of happened with Colin Baker, Danny yeah. Pink could have been an Ian Chesterton easily, yeah. and he would have been great. And it would have been such a fresh dynamic, because, yeah. you know, I suppose we had a long running male companion with Rory in the new series, but for a little while there, he was just still the same old kind of on again, off again companion. But otherwise, we really haven't had one. No. And maybe we will with this Nordahl guy. I don't know. But
that's the funny thing, isn't it? So we have a series which, as you say, needs to redefine itself as much as it can per
yeah.
era. And if you don't, you end up feeling like a throw off or a continuation of someone else's era, which is always, I think, the danger, which is why you need to rebrand to a certain degree. So you don't yeah. feel like your Smith is just an extension of the Tennant stuff. It's its own era. But they you know, this sad. Was the opportunity to do it. But yeah.
Yeah. What's sad is I just kind of realized, and this not to devalue the other characters, because clearly every new series Doctor has been different from each other, even though they've had a lot of similar qualities, obviously keeping in line with the tried and true. What's sad is I sat here and I just had the thought, it would be great to see when Chibnall takes over, to not have to worry about, oh, there's another new TARDIS console room, another TARDIS prop, another sonic screwdriver. You know, everything doesn't need to change with the show. And what I realize is the new series kind of feels keeping things fresh is new design work.
Yes.
More
yes,
so
very
than
true.
New ideas.
Yes, very, very
and
true.
It would be amazing to see Chibnall take over the show, and even if he only wants to do it for a season or half a season, but let him use the same console room, the same police box, the same sonic screwdriver, because, you know, those things don't need to change because the actor changed. And let us see change. Even though you're using all the same things, show us the change internally with the characters, with the stories that you're telling. And let us sit there and be amazed by the fact that we're looking at the same set we've looked at for a couple of years now, the same sonic screwdriver prop used for a full series. And just be wowed by the fact that you thought outside the box otherwise.
There is a truth.
That would be incredible.
There is a very strong truth in that, and I think we might have said this like 5 years ago. It feels like something we talked about before a long time ago. But, mm-hmm. you know, by having a consistency within the design, to some degree, you root a feeling of continuity for the audience so they can believe that this is the same Doctor as the last Doctor, because it's the same console room, it's the same TARDIS, it's just a different person. But the visual associations there, those remain, those signals, almost like signifiers for the audience, still are there. They're, you know, that this is the continuing history of Doctor Who. So yeah, as soon as you do a change of the console room, you can sort of break that. And really what you need to be doing is making your dynamic, your branding changes more subtle, which is more difficult, but then perhaps not. Like I say, I mean, we've said this before, you know, there's been so many eras of Doctor Who. I mean, you know, McCoy's era is very different to Hartnell's. Hartnell's setup is very different to Davison's setup. You know, you can have loads of different companions. You can have few, you can have none. And you just kind of feel that with Capaldi, there was this opportunity for this Doctor to sort of perhaps take a little bit of the model of the Hartnell, with a little bit of the model of the Davison, so he can, you know, and had something that felt balanced and good for children. Because I think as well, the problem is that while kids are used to romances and everything, I think there's a lot of fun in shows which don't focus on them particularly and allow characters to breathe. Because romances, you know, they're not that interesting, especially when they're actually running. The will they, won't they is popular. But very few romances, once they're actually couples, are very popular. And they made those two a couple within the second episode, third episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not a good move to me. That's not the way to do it. So, yeah, I think that was their mistake. And I think if they done that differently, if, as you say, they'd brought Danny on board permanently, if they'd put him as a sort of foil for Clara without them having to have the love interest, let him have a relationship with the Doctor, which is different to the one the Doctor has with Clara. They could have had a nice sort of triptych of character dynamics. They could have had a fresh feel, because that could have been quite different to the love connection of Amy and Rory for Smith, with a very different Doctor, with the two companions playing a very different role to the Doctor. You could have had them head off into space. You could have had a new feeling for the Doctor. They would have promoted and sort of reinforced that for the kids as well. That would have really worked for me. And yet we're back now again. Season 9 was just no different really to season 7 or even season 6.
Yeah.
The Doctor was the same. Clara was essentially doing the same thing as Amy had done or Rose had done. Or, you know, it was nothing new there. It felt like we're back on the same treadmill. And again, as we've said before, you've only got 12 to 13 episodes. You don't have time for love affairs. You don't have time to establish love arcs. You've not got an American 26 season thing where you can sort of pepper these in. You've got 13 episodes on a show which isn't about characters per se. It's about science fiction ideas. You don't have the space. You don't have the space for these ridiculous arcs as it is, as we've noticed. So yeah, I don't know. There's just so many ways you could talk. I mean, maybe this is the what could Chibnall be doing or what could Chibnall not be doing. I think one of the things, as we've said, I think by the sounds of what they're going to do, is going to tone back the arcs to make it more standardized, so it becomes a, you know, a show for kids that they know when it's on. I think from what I've heard, I think there might be a considered budget cut. I'm not sure whether that's true or not. I've heard that from several places, that there might be a bit of a drop in the budget, which might mean they might decide to sort of adopt a more Earth-based policy and move it like the Pertwee era. I don't know. But that alone would be fresh. At least it'd be daring. And it might not work, but at least you tried it.
Yeah.
And Series 8 just felt like they just didn't, even in Series 8, they didn't quite try it enough. They didn't know what to do with him, or they weren't sure whether they could get away with what they'd want to do with him. Last thing I should say, last question I should ask you, Missy. They threw up this week that she's coming back with a little teaser video of her painting a piece of plywood that was put next to the police box door, which I think was meant to look like it was part of the police box, but didn't. But anyway, are you okay with that? Are you thrilled? Are you not thrilled?
I expected it because Moffat is a one-trick pony. I am not thrilled, not annoyed. I just expected it, and I just hope that they do something worthwhile, whereas her Series 9 appearance was kind of, where did that go? You know, like, it was used, and we were expecting more to come from it, and then it didn't. So, yeah, I'm neither here nor there with it, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that was the problem with it, is me. I don't mind. I mean, she's a bit of colour to it. I still don't particularly consider her the master, not for any female reasons. It's just she's just a good character in her own right. I just kind of keep wishing they'll turn around and go, actually, I'm not the master. This is the master. I just thought it'd be fun to pretend I was, because I'm actually more interesting as Missy. It'd be kind of nice to have her to be able to keep playing Missy. Or maybe even with generations of girls playing Missy. That would be fun. But there we go. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It would have been, she's such a good character. It would have been more interesting to have her be somebody of her own. But more so, I'm just more interested in people getting used properly.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of things that Moffat uses, either plots, characters, or aliens, just are gimmicks to him, rather than the story. Somebody once said to me, and I don't know if I said this in a podcast before, but I felt very true. I agree, Moffat has a lot of great ideas, and we've talked before that in the Russell T. Davis era, his stories were just top-notch. But it seems like in his own era, he has a lot of these great ideas, but when it comes to writing the script, he makes the main focus be on anything but one of those great ideas. You know, and it's like, it's a shame, because right to the left of that thing that you're actually making this story be about is something so much better, and you're just not using it. So, you know, she's back. Okay. If she's used well, that'd be great. If she's not used well, it's just going to be more of the same. And we're all going to be sitting there going, you know, sorry to see you go, not sorry to see you go, Moffat. You know, it's hard to say. I would love to see Series 10 end and me sit there and say, well done, Moffat.
Yes.
Because right now I'm not saying that about his era. Maybe a few handful of stories, but I'm not saying that about his era. And I won't be saying that probably still about his era, but at least I would like to be able to say that about a series.
I don't know. But let us know what you think in whatever way you like to contact us. I don't know which ways you particularly like to contact us, if you like to contact us at all. I certainly would want to contact us, but then I know us, so it would be a very boring thing for me to contact us. I've spent years with this guy, so I know pretty much what he thinks. I know what Christian thinks. And I sort of get a feeling I know what I think. So, you know, I wouldn't do it. But you might want to. You might want to give it a go and just throw us a message or two. That'd be cool. Okay, so hopefully Christian's not very well at the moment. So hopefully we'll be back with him next week. As I said, there is this MuirCon podcast, which is a sort of semi-regular thing I'm trying to do with. Have we had him on this podcast before? I think we might have done an interview with him once. He's an American writer who's written a lot of stuff on science fiction, retro science fiction, 70s and 80s, and he still does it in the 90s and 2000s, but a lot of his books are around things like Doctor Who, Blake Seven horror. And I'm hoping to do a sort of regular semi sort of thing with him. So hopefully I'll get that sorted out and we'll get this podcast up, and hopefully we'll have something interesting to talk about with a new show coming very soon, really, isn't it? It's not that long before it airs, a couple of months. And with that, any questions you have, as I say, throw them our way. Otherwise, I'd like to think next time we'll be back with a commentary. I think a commentary would be nice. I think a Capaldi one might be. But we'll be talking to you soon then.